You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard on the web, and Ellen will give the directions for that in a minute. Last week, we had some issues about that, didn't it?
No, I think we're good.
We're good now?
Yeah, we're good.
Perfect.
Yep.
All right, and my co-host Ellen and I are here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we will be heating up the airwaves with kitchen table topics and things that are going around on here in Brevard and around the state and national. And Ellen, it's always good to be here on a Monday because you and I seem to love this fun, unscripted, educational, and quite informational show, right?
Yes. And it comes right after a day of like the weekend of news. So it's always great to be able to touch base and check in and see how things are going.
And we kind of wrap up, right?
Yeah, wrap up the week.
Yeah, so I think this is a good time. We had some people that called us last week about how to download the app for our station for WWBC. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could give them that information today. Because one person said they were not able to listen. And we don't want that because we've got people calling in from all over the world and all over the nation on our show.
That's right. So you can go to www.1510wwbc.com. And there is a Google app that you can download, and you can do that on your phone or you can do that on the computer. I've done it both ways, and it works both ways. And from there, you can listen live. Now, there's another option as well that says there's a little button that says On Demand, and On Demand will show up usually within a few hours. It seems like it's been a few hours after the show, and you can get all of that information right on that 1510wwbc.com website. So two spots. One is the Google Play app that you can play on your phone and listen live right with us, or you can do the On Demand, which would be after the show is over.
And you're so good with social media, and you're so good with doing stuff like that. Thank you so much for all that you do behind the scenes for our station, for our show, and for getting our guests online.
Well, and Pastor Paul gives us a great product to put out. So
I think he's
going to
add, for once, he's going to add something to our show.
Well, don't forget the Apple App Store, of course. So everyone with an iPhone or an iPad, too, you just go to the App Store on your Apple device and search for WWBC and download it that way.
Yeah, maybe we ought to do more postings about that, how people can find us, because now we've got this big, beautiful studio, and Jackie Chandler is here, and she was just amazed when she walked in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So comfortable.
Yes, yeah. So for friends who are tuning in, our show today, we've got our in-studio guest, Jackie Chandler, is here, and she serves as President and Chief Executive Officer on I Am Proof. She's also the founder of I Am Proof, and I Am Proof is an organization here in our town that supports and mentors and guide young people so that we can actually keep them out of trouble, right, Jackie?
Yes.
Main goal, now, keep them engaged.
And we're now mentoring young ladies. Initially, it
I
was
saw
part
that.
Of that.
Yeah, I saw that on the website.
Young men, 11 through 18. And now there has been a demand for young ladies. So we had our first group of young ladies a couple of weeks ago.
So when we 10. So it's group mentoring for group boys mentoring and girls 11 now. To 18,
yes,
and it's structured so that to give people an opportunity to explore their individual selves and how we can make them better human beings, and actually how we can develop relationships with them, because not everybody have that relationship with a parent or teacher or family member
or with their so-called friends.
That's right.
You know, children have 10, 12 friends. When I'd say you only have one good friend. No, I have 10.
Right.
So, yes, exactly.
So just building relationationships, you know, helping them build relationships.
I think not only as teenagers, too, adults need to build relationships as well, right? So we also have a call-in guest is going to be calling in this morning. We have Andres Useshi, who's going to be calling in from San Diego, and he is going to speak about the concert and events where he's been performing his latest song, in support of bringing families together. And you have to be living under a rock if you're not looking at what's going on at the border with the families and the children who are being separated. And whether you're pro-family or anti-family or Republican or Democrat, or whether you're just sitting in the middle or sitting on a fence, you must have an opinion whether or not children and mothers and fathers belong together.
Well, at some point, we are part of the human race, first and foremost, right? So, I mean, you have to be human about,
yes,
about what's going on.
Right, and not mm-hmm. and not everyone came to America legally. We're all a nation of immigrants.
Right.
Right? We all know that from the Irish, the Italian, mm-hmm. Lord knows some Indians, everybody. Everybody
There's
has
an entire
a story.
Island devoted to all of the immigrants. Ellis Island, if yeah. you're, so, it, and it wasn't that long ago. I think, yeah, I think
yeah,
they did.
Everybody has a story to
Everybody's
tell.
Everybody's got a story.
And that's why on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we try to have high-quality shows and bring in guests who can give us their insights and inform the public of what's going on, not just here in Florida, but around the world. And, you know, some blame the Democrats and say that we're the ones who did not pass the laws and that we're tearing families apart. But I don't think this is a time to blame anyone.
No.
This is a time to fix the broken system,
right?
Fix the broken immigration system,
right? Exactly.
And make it so that people who want to come here legally, it can be streamlined in a better process. And also, we have to take a look at what's going on with those nations. Why are people fleeing? My mother used to say, nobody flees anything that's good, whether it's a bad marriage, whether it's a bad job, whether it's a nation, whatever it is, people are running away so that they could have something better for themselves. Mm-hmm. And how we do it and how we get to the end result, that's what we all want, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think it's time for all of us to start reading and don't, you know, I don't think we should just be looking at one television station and gives us a biased view of what's going on at the border. Some say the crisis has been there for a long time. Some say that it's just started, but it hasn't. We all know people have been trying to come to the United States for an opportunity for a better life for a very long time. But the trick is, we want people here, of course, who can assimilate and help as well, right? Everybody
right.
wants
and we
their
don't
tax
want criminals.
Dollars.
We don't want refugees that are criminals from other countries mm-hmm. and so forth. We want people that are going to be contributing to our society and contributing. And there's lots of immigrants that want to,
right?
That
and
want to be a part
mm-hmm.
of that.
I haven't met a person, Republican or Democrat, who said, hey, we want a criminal to be coming through the border.
Right.
Or we want somebody who is going to hurt other people and rape and maim mm-hmm. people. Most people are very sane in the thought that the security of the United States come first.
Right.
No one wants people in this country with diseases that they could spread and kill other people too. You know, mm-hmm. people are worried about things. Somebody told me, well, how do you know these people don't have diseases then when they come to public school that our children won't be infected? Well, nobody actually wants that.
Right.
Right.
If that's a concern, then that's certainly something that somebody is an activist or somebody that's concerned about that needs to. I don't have any children in school, mm-hmm. so that wouldn't even cross my mind. But certainly that if you feel that strongly about it, that's
get
where you
involved.
Get involved.
That's right.
Call your state representative. Call the people that are around you and make a change.
Okay. Yeah,
make an addition mm-hmm. for sure.
Well, the thing is, the people coming through the border are coming for one thing and one thing only, for an opportunity. They want to take care of their children and their families, and most people do assimilate.
Security.
And
yeah.
they want to be secure. They want to be, at the end of the day, people want to be loved and appreciated like everywhere else. Mm-hmm. So I think if they're going to send them back as a family together, if they've determined there is no violence, there's no drug trafficking, people are not in danger of their lives, do it together, send them together as a family. But if you're going to keep them here, don't separate them. Because putting them in cages is not the way to go. They're people. They're human beings.
And what they're finding out as well, too, is that they're doing that DNA swab test. And they're finding out that some of these children may have been, you know, victims of human trafficking.
Right.
So they're not even sure that they're people that should have been, or children that should have been crossing the border, because they may have been coming
right.
Under false pretenses.
Right. And some people say the reason for the family separations is a zero tolerance policy, that families illegally crossing the border are automatically referred for criminal prosecution, and typically mean in detention for adults pending their trials. According to the U.S. protocol, if children... parents are in jail, they're separated because the kids aren't charged with a crime.
Right.
But, you know, there it should be a case-by-case basis.
Amen.
You know?
Yep.
And, of
so
course...
So, Andres is on hold. I just want to make sure you
Andres
know that.
Oh, Andres is
yeah.
on hold.
Yes.
Hold. Hold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, the White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee, blames it on loopholes in the law, which is something we have to fix. And also, Paul Ryan blames it on a court decision, which legislation will fix that. And then the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, justifies it by quoting the scripture. So who knows? At this point, all sane people need to come forward and try to help these children and mothers on the border. So Andres Osechi is on the phone, and he is a filmmaker, a songwriter, a director and composer, and he's calling in from San Diego, and we want our listeners to hear a little bit about him. I think we're going to play this. Are we going to speak to him, Ellen?
We're going to speak to him first, and then we're going to play a song after.
So, Andres, thank you for calling in this morning on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, and we're heard on 3 FM and 1 AM station. So, thank you for taking the time out of walking your dog this morning to call us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, so tell us a little bit, tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself. We have Jackie Chandler who is here, and she was all excited that you're going to be on the same show that she's on this morning. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became an advocate and an activist.
Okay, so I am an immigrant from Colombia, very proud immigrant. I'm an American citizen as well, and I think the two are very strongly bound together in my identity as a country. Identity is bound together by our immigrant origins. The first time I came to the States, I was helped, our family was helped by an undocumented worker who I saw was working day jobs and night jobs, doing menial stuff that most people wouldn't want to do just to give her children a better life. And when I realized later on in life that she was suffering under laws that I felt were not compassionate, that were unjust, and that were different from what we aspired to be as a nation, I decided to put my talents and abilities to work on trying to advocate and I guess create an emotional connection to her plight and the plight of so many undocumented immigrants in the United States, as well as refugees. And I also have tried to use the arts, either as songwriter and filmmaker, to try to find a way for us to protect the environment. And I guess it all comes down to the fact that I believe that we are one, and we are one with our planet, and it's the only one we have, and we all humanity will fare better if we take care of one another.
Yeah, I think that's where that phrase, we have to be thy brother's keeper. And it doesn't matter where that mm-hmm. brother is, right? And so there's such a moral outcry. It's widespread about this zero-tolerance immigration policy that's leading to the separation of children from parents during illegal border crossings. And some people say that we shouldn't be using the word illegal as well. They're people, mm-hmm. right? They're people. They're
exactly.
coming, and they want a better life. So so tell us, Andre. So Ellen and I have this, we have your MP3. And before we go forward, we want to know, why did you write this song?
All right, so I was, I had to be away from my wife because I was performing and doing all the stuff, and sometimes we're separated, and I missed her a lot, and I could not bear the thought of not being able to come back to her, the way many people are separated when one family is ripped apart and some of the members are deported. And it's just a horrible thought, and I know so many people from my activism who are in that situation. And then I also, I saw what was happening in the world, specifically, this was right before, the zero-tolerance policy, but I also saw that this administration was already turning their back on refugees from around the world, and that there was a lot of xenophobia and bigotry against people of color, and specifically people who were fleeing natural disasters and all of that. And I thought, what are we supposed to be about as a nation? And to my Christian conservative friends who are often on the other side politically on this, and I don't understand it, because my question is, who would Jesus deport?
Well, the question is, too, does heaven have any borders, right? Or for that matter, does hell have any borders, or wherever people are going?
And at the end, I think all religions, and as just as human beings, we should just simply try to think and try to act according being led by compassion and not fear, and not out of fear, and especially irrational fear, and fear that is discriminatory and oftentimes irrational. We should try to be compassionate to one another. So this is a song where I was appealing to the better angels of our nature, I guess. And it's called The Flame You Keep. And I'm often very inspired by the Statue of Liberty. So, of course, it's strongly connected to that, but also from a very personal point of view. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Well, you know, almost 2,000 children were taken from their migrant parents at the border from April 19 to May 31st, according to the Department of Homeland Security data. And there's a discussion to be held as well that some people think, well, they were coming here illegally, so they broke the law. And so people are focusing on the law. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But for now, we're going to play the song. And how long is the song? Do we know how many minutes?
Almost 3 minutes.
Do you want to play the entire song, Ellen?
Yeah.
So Ellen wants to play the entire song. And then we'll talk a little bit more with Andres Useshi. So take it away, Pastor Paul.
Land. I'm sinking in the raging sea. You raise the beacon in your hand. The flame you keep is guiding me. Tempest tossed, I kiss your shore. We sweat and toil to build a home. They'll send me back storm.
So we love it, and our producer had to cut it at a certain point because, you know, station rules and stuff like that. But tell us, what do you hope people will take away from the song? And we're going to try to play the remainder of the song at the end of this segment. So tell us, what do you hope people will take away from this song?
Well, I hope people just question who we want to be and who we have been as a country and what we're supposed to be about from the beginning, from... The song has biblical references because, you know, Jesus himself was an immigrant. It makes different allusions to the immigration of the British and the Irish. And I feel that everyone in this country is either a Native American or a descendant of the Native Americans or a descendant or an immigrant or the descendant of someone who was enslaved and stolen by a small fraction or a big fraction of those immigrants. So we're either Native Americans or we're all from somewhere else. And that's what I fell in love with when I first came to this country, was it the melting pot and how many cultures and how we created an identity around a dream. What brought us together was that belief that we could find something better and find something better for our children, and that we had religious freedom, and that we had the freedom to believe, and to, it didn't matter what color your skin was or what country we were coming from. We identified ourselves by that dream, and I want to keep that's a dream that I still believe on, and that's the flame that I hope you keep, that I hope everyone keeps in their heart, that beacon of hope that I spoke about in the other song, Dream to Belong, that I made a reference to in Marching into the Light in all my songs, is something that I want to believe in and that I want to fight for. And I think that we should all be fighting for instead of leading with fear, especially these horrible, horrible times where we've seen such a travesty happen.
It's almost like a lack of compassion in some cases. But Andres, what is the responsibility of the Latin American governments and the responsibility of our officials here when it comes to foreign policy? Because it seems as though all the things you spoke about, the freedom to choose your religion, who you love, who you marry, how you live, just the freedom to enjoy life and it's the beauty of life. We have it here in the United States, no matter how difficult sometimes we think it is. We still have the greatest country in the world, right? So how do we bring that to other countries? How do we export this to the countries where people are fleeing violence and human trafficking and share poverty? So what responsibility does those governments have to its citizens so that they don't leave and run like this?
There is something that we have to start by being aware of, and that's that since the Cold War and before that, what we have exported is the opposite. What the United States has exported, you know, they've supported the governments of those times supported dictatorships all through South America and in Central America, as we know, with their Iran-Contra affair, and that had deep effects. It's not that there is no one at fault in those countries, but we, this country, and I myself, an American, I consider that we have a responsibility also by what we have brought to these countries, which in many cases has been war, and it has been propping up paramilitary groups like the Contras or like in Chile. We've supported dictatorships, the opposite of freedom, the opposite of what we believe in and what we're supposed to be standing for. That's what we've exported. And we sort of have a responsibility to all, many of those people who are seeking asylum are coming from those countries that were so affected by our foreign policy.
Right.
Of the United States foreign policy.
And people forget also that wars also lead to famine and poverty and so many refugees.
Exactly. And this is supposed to be a beacon of hope. I'm the richest nation on earth. And sometimes we can't even take care of our own fellow Americans, like in Puerto Rico. And what we see here when Trump talks about or defines all Mexicans or most Mexicans or, you know, generalizes, stereotypes Mexicans as rapists and killers, and dehumanizes all immigrants by saying they infest, or we infest America. And at the same time, he is saying, some of the white supremacists are good people. What kind of message is that sending, and what kind of effect does that have on our nation and on our world? And what he says and talks about countries that are in need as, you know, I don't know if I can say the word on air, but
the bad word he used,
to Haiti and to all those countries. So
it's almost an attack on anyone that's not. It's an attack on minorities. It's an attack on people who are different. It's an attack on the way God made us. We didn't ask to be black and brown and Hispanic and Asian and Chinese and wherever we come from. But it's almost as though you wake up every day now and you question, well, why was I made different and I wasn't made the way that certain people want me to be?
Exactly. And I've heard in the past the argument, well, you know, we voted for other reasons. Yes, that thing he said might be racist, but I'm not racist. I just voted for him because X or Y or my taxes or something. But to me, if you're complicit, if you're willing to let someone attack immigrants and attack people of color that way, and
Gold Star families and John McCain, and you know, I think at some point people have to look at their own lives and ask themselves, you know, why did I vote for such and such a person? Whether it's on a local level, whether it's on a national level. Ask yourself, what in that person do you identify with? Because a lot of people say taxes. A lot of people say they're pro-life versus pro-choice. But then when you ask that same person, well, if a girl gives birth to a baby and she calls you up and she says, hey, can you come over and watch this child for 2 hours? I got to run to Publix. Are you going to come over and watch the baby? Are you going to help her to raise that child? Because oftentimes if a child falls down and break a limb or they get hurt, that parent is called in on the carpet and they're going to be put in jail for child abuse. So I always say we have to be careful what we're doing as human beings, because the key to everything in life, no matter where we live, is education. It's an education, whether it's, you know, sex education, education about foreign policy, education about people's countries and why they're fleeing, immigration policies. So, you know, and I hear you. Reason, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Wants to do away, wants to blend the labor and education departments and defund education oftentimes. And defund public education, which Mrs. DeBose is trying to do. And the reason is why. Why do we want a less educated population? Don't we want more education? The reason is because the more people learn, the more they'll understand that maybe the laws and maybe the tax cuts that they advertise are not really tax cuts for most people. They're not tax cuts for the middle class. They're not taxes for most of us. They're really advantages for the 1%. So they don't want the rest of the population to be highly educated. And one of the best, most important types of education that we need is just for people to understand how important midterms and congressional elections are.
Right, that's and we also thing. Need an education on compassion. People need to start paying attention to their communities and around them and what they can do to make the lives of the communities better as well. And they have to vote on issues that affect them and their communities. So, Andres, we have 2 minutes left. Where can people hear your songs about immigration rights, immigrant rights?
Okay, so all my songs, immigration rights, refugee rights, human rights, and also environmental songs are online. You can find them on YouTube or just Googling my name. That's U-S-E-C-H-E, Andres Useche, Andres A-N-D-R-E-S, Useche, U-S-E-C-H-E. And they're also free downloads on SoundCloud, and you have the videos on YouTube.
And what else can people do really quickly to help the family detention and separation, besides writing our elected officials and trying to speak out and become an activist and advocate?
Yes, there are many organizations that are trying to do something, and some are very effective at offering legal possibilities to kids who are coming and seeking asylum or children in detention, like Raices is one of those. I'm also personally helping. I'm working with different organizations, OFA, Indivisible. We have one called March to the Midterms, because really, one of the big things that we can do, aside from donating our time and our money to those legal organizations, like UU Rights here in San Diego that offers legal services to refugees, is basically to vote for people who will have really the who are thinking about all of us as humans and not just one little percent of one little ethnicity of one specific tax bracket. No, we have to really show up at the polls and vote for people who care about the majority of human beings on Earth, you know, and because the more we succeed as a species, the better off every individual will be in that group.
And what
in our society.
We decided we're going to hold a few of our ads and give you a couple of extra minutes. What other issues do you care about, Andres Useche, who's taken the time to call in from San Diego, California this morning?
I think it's critical that we try to protect the environment. We're seeing the devastating changes of climate change, which is real, which 99.9% of scientists agree is real, and we're not doing enough because the current government is in the pocket of big polluters. So that's one thing that I believe we have to really look at scientific data, just indiscriminate scientific data for what is happening in the world, and think about the world that we want to live our children, in what conditions do we want to live them, this world. So I think refugees and human rights, and we need to think about healthcare. Do we want healthcare that is affordable to most of us, or healthcare in which you don't have, if you have a pre-existing condition, you can't get coverage? All of us are subject to having getting cancer, or having a pre-existing condition, and this is something that should be a right in a country as wealthy as ours. So I believe healthcare is very important.
I've been reading a lot about Big Sugar here in Florida as well, and all the pros and cons about that. And I think you do have a point when you say that we have to pay attention to, you know, corporate money and what's going on with who's funding elections and things like that as well. So what's in store for you as far as further, are you writing any more songs to support immigrant rights?
Well, you know, I'm a filmmaker, so I'm an artist in different areas. So I wrote this song, as you've seen on YouTube, most of my songs have music videos that we shoot, that we're filming while we're out doing activism and marching and all of this. So right now I'm performing live a lot in support of, you know, in Families Belong Together marches and a lot of those type of events, and we're filming a lot. I'm collaborating with different organizations, Border Angels and Indivisible and UU Rise and all of these organizations, and we're compiling a lot of footage to create a music video. Also, the song that you just heard was a collaboration with musicians from all over around the world, including Silvio Tolini, a band called Cosm, Daniel Cadena, who's a great guitar player for Carlos Vives, and we're doing versions with musicians from all over the world. So there are different versions of that song coming up, and I'm also working on a graphic novel and a comic book for the United Nations about refugees. I'm
so
working
exciting.
With this new group that I told you about, which is March to the Midterms, and I'm going to be working in trying to get just people to vote. However they feel politically, they have a voice and they should use it to get senators and assembly congressmen to the House and the Senate.
That we work on that every week on the show, Andre.
Yes.
So we're so proud and
it's
so happy
nice
that
to have
you're
a friend
that.
Like you to call in on our show. We will certainly call upon you again, and Ellen's going to finish up this segment with
and
you.
And we're going to post all of your YouTube information and everything that we can find about you online to make sure that we get your word out as well. Thank you so much for calling in, and we're going to hear
Thank
from our
so
sponsors real quick, and then we're going to move right on to
We're just going to thank our sponsors, Cloud9 Sleep Shop and
Jack Coff and Associates, Dixie Crossroads, and of course the
MedFest,
friends and family of Sita
and the
McGee.
Friends and family, and Andres Oseshi, thank you so much for taking the time to call in on our fun, unscripted, educational, and boy, we always learn something when our guests call in, no matter where they're calling from. So thank you so much. And Ellen, I think this is a good time for us to say that Jackie Chandler has been on our show a couple of times.
And a great friend.
She's a friend of the show, and we're a friend of hers as well.
Yes.
And she's got a lot of stuff that's going on with iImprove, and one of the things that she says about iImprove, it is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And boy, how true that is.
Amen.
Whether it's men or women, and that is so true. And that goes for people not just here in the United States, but all over the world. That kind of flows exactly into what Andres was saying as well, because once those children are broken when they're taken away from their parents, it takes a lot more resources to fix their mind mentally. Absolutely. And then physically and emotionally and financially take care of their families. So Jackie Chandler is here. And so Jackie, tell us a little bit about yourself and iImprove.
Well, I'm, as Sita said, I've been here before, and I really, really enjoy the opportunity to come in and talk about the program of iImprove and to let you know that proof is for promoting responsibility, opportunity, and outcome through faith and self-determination. And that's what we try to instill in the young men and now young women.
Yes.
And really enjoy being a part of their the opportunity for them to grow into themselves, you know, because it takes a while for children to understand their responsibility, their personal responsibility. I attended a workshop a couple of weeks ago, and it was said that 14 and 15-year-olds, 14 to 16-year-olds, still don't have the capacity of understanding what's right and what's wrong. They know, but they need to test it to see what happens. And understanding, and what we try to stress is that personal responsibility, if you don't make the right decision, it impacts the entire family. So once they don't make that right decision and it impacts their family, then they see the difference. And sometimes people have to actually see the difference. But I wanted to share something with you that I remember this poem that we used to say at the school that I used to work in, talking about immigrants in it. And I'm sure everybody's heard this before. I won't read the whole thing, but it says, first they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the the let's say trade unionist, and did not I did not speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And I think that that's what people are involved in now. They have this fear about what's going to happen to me. You know, what's going to happen? And I've heard people say this. So if we don't try to get ourselves together and build our communities and do these things
and remain
that we
being
need to
activists,
do, then
stay
I will
engaged.
Be. I they yes. will come after me.
Right, we have to stay engaged.
Speak up? So we definitely have to, and we all have to, not just to break it down into the separate groups, but we all have to stay engaged and make sure that we educate people on voting, not just going to the polls, but they need to understand who they're voting for. You know?
Yes, I think that's what Andres was talking about too.
So,
and that's why sometimes, you know, we get a little weary because Ellen and I might book somebody for the show and then they call in or they can't come, and we question, boy, do we have to do this every Monday, find quality guests to call in. And as long as we keep our vision, which is to help others,
right,
which is when someone is tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and they walk away saying, boy, I learned something, then we feel like we did our job.
That's right.
And it is a form of activism and engagement in a community that we do this. And, you know, it's hard work, but somebody's got to do it.
Right.
If we all say, well, I don't want to get involved, then who's going to be there when they come for you? Who's going to be there with the last sentence there?
Exactly.
So I like the goals of I Improve to address the inappropriate behaviors in the classroom that could impact a student's performance and disrupt the classroom environment.
And you know, we hear so much about suspension rates and how they impact on children of color. And I've had an opportunity to go to the schools and identify some of the issues that are manifested in the classrooms. And it's just that children are acting out. They're being children. But we're asking them to sit still, be quiet, and do your work. And sometimes that's not possible.
Right.
So one thing that I think is beneficial for children is to make sure that they stay children. Sometimes they need to go outside and let some of this
like
stuff off.
Talk to address
negative
attitudes.
And then bring them
attitudes.
Back in. Right. You know, and that's what we try to do in our group. We do more activities than I do, or I do talk a lot to them. And they're like, well, Miss Jackie, we're not in school. I know. So let's just play this game. And then they don't know that they're actually learning about personal responsibility, or they're actually learning about making sound decisions. You put them in a space capsule and say that you're the only one left on the world, in this world. So these are the things that you have left to sustain you to until, you know, people come
find
back.
You. Until
yeah.
You.
Right. So then they start picking up candy and, you know, yeah, stuff. Yeah. And then say, what are you going to do about the lights, or the do about keeping warm, or doing about.
So you make them think. It's creative thinking.
Exactly.
So basically what you do is you take a negative attitude and instead of looking at the negative consequences, you turn it into a positive.
Yes. And we also talk about team building and relationships. We were talking about that earlier, about understanding relationships and creating those positive relationships. And most of the things that we teach or we develop during our program, which is a 5-week, 2.5-week program, is that these things that they will use when they go into the workforce. A lot of young people don't consider themselves in the workforce already, because when you're in school, you're in the workforce. You learn how to speak. You learn how to follow directions. You learn how to follow rules.
So being a student, you know, is a full-time job.
Yes.
That is a job.
Yes, it is.
That is your job of going to school and getting good grades and being respectful and having a good attitude and learning to be somebody.
Right.
So talking about disrespectful, how do we address disrespectful behaviors towards persons in authority, and how do we try to deplete, you know, the negative outcomes?
Well, you know, sometimes it's very difficult unless there's an assessment done on that child, because I'm finding out that a lot of things are going on in the home that teachers, mentors, and, you know, people that are dealing with young people don't know what's going on. So when they come out of the home and they're coming into school, especially young men, they want some authority, you know, so they sort of kind of take it out on the teacher or the principal on, you know, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that, because they don't have that authority at home, only because they're going through some traumatic issue. Trauma-related issues are really, there are a lot of trauma-related issues at home. You know, in our state, you know, with the poverty, you know, children not being and not having enough meals at home, and we try to take care of that in school.
Or being the but only kid that doesn't have the correct school supplies.
No. Right.
You know, being
and then
the one
are always giving, you know, giving. I even heard that some of the schools, I think they've stopped doing this now, would identify those children that didn't bring their lunch. And how did you do that? Well, you give them a certain lunch, and everybody knows that, oh, you didn't have lunch money today, so that's why you're eating that peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, so, so people that's feel that's so really, ashamed, and yeah, some children feel ashamed. It's such a stigma attached,
yeah,
right?
It is.
So,
but the behaviors lead to suspension, and which leads to expulsion. So we need to understand why this child is being suspended. Why is he or
she
acting out?
So they're setting up to fail. They're set up to fail.
Why and they don't get homework. You know, you don't take homework home when you're when it's out school suspension, and when it's in school suspension. I think we're not addressing the issue when we do in school suspension, because we set the child into the media center or wherever he or she goes and leave them there, but we're still not addressing the issue.
Right. And so, and the four things that I improved, that Jackie Chandler and I improved, addresses suspension, expulsion, dropout, and prison.
Yeah,
we've talked a lot on this show, not just about prison reform, but about voting rights restoration as well. And if you catch them at this age, you can avoid all of these four things, right?
Definitely.
So tell us, talk to us a little bit about these four issues: suspension, expulsion, dropouts, and prison.
Well, as we said a few minutes ago, suspension, they have both in school and out school suspension, and so they're trying to drop the level of out of school suspension and keep the young people in. However, someone could really violate the rules and be suspended, and then where are they going? Are they going home? Nobody's there, so they sort of plan these excursions, if you will. So they have their friend to come, and then they end up
in more trouble.
Juvenile justice system.
Yeah, mother and father probably working two jobs.
And so now we're in the system, and there's a low tolerance. When we talk about zero tolerance, whatever that means, there is a very low tolerance for children that we think, or the government thinks, are criminals. So they end up in the system, and then if we can't help them there, then they end up in prison. There was a documentary on about a couple of weeks ago about young men going to prison.
I saw that on CNN.
We were all watching that, I think, at the same time.
But you know, the one
and
thing...
And look how young they're going.
I know, and the one thing I took away from that is a lot of these young men and women who are locked up in prison, they have mental issues.
Yes.
They're in the wrong place. These are things that we should have caught earlier on and addressed these issues, because they're ending up in prison because there's nowhere to put them.
Right.
So how do we address that as a nation? How do we address the emotional health of people? Because we're so we're focused on health care and dental care and vision, and we should be. Those are just as important. But then, for some reason, the mental care, it gets kind of dropped a little bit.
Well, I think the schools are now addressing the social and emotional development or training of young people, and so we've included that in our program as well, teaching them how to communicate, teaching them how to be a team player, teaching them especially conflict resolution, because I noticed that a lot of young people, especially boys, when they get angry, they don't know what to do with that anger, so they end up hitting the walls or hitting another, bullying and doing all of those things that are inappropriate because they don't know how to release.
Channel that anger.
They don't know how to do
so
that.
We've got a few minutes left. We want to get your website, and then Ellen and I want to hear about the events.
Yeah.
So give us the website, because I know you accept donations.
Yes.
You also partner with people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful website. It's very easy to understand. Give up the website so somebody can go and check.
So we're at www.iamproof.net. And we also have a Facebook page that you can come on and be our friend. And Cedar's talking about our fundraising event that's coming up the 21st of July at 4 o'clock. And we're holding this at the Ugali Civic Center on Highland Avenue, I think it is. And it's focuses on the young men that have graduated from our program, as well as entrepreneurs, business owners, showing young men that there are other things you can do besides playing football and basketball or been in sports. And also, they get to dress up. They get to put their suits on. They learn to tie ties in our program. So they're there tying their ties. And we have a very special person.
Could I send some adult men?
Oh, please do.
Because I know some adult men that don't know how to tie a tie.
And we have a special guy that owns a business that comes out and helps them, you know, make it the best that they make them the best that they can be in their outfits. So it's $15 for adults, $7 for children, and we start at 4 o'clock on the 21st. And we hope that you buy your tickets. You can buy your tickets through Eventbrite, or you can purchase them through our website. So we're looking forward to you coming and enjoying the program. We have entertainers. We have a comedian. We have vocalist. We have all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a 3-hour program, and full of fun and excitement and just, you know, just being together.
I was just going to tell Ellen, we should have invited Jackie to the Bikoska event, because it seems as a week she can promote this business. Her daughter was the singer.
Mm-hmm.
At Bikoska?
You know, the
mm-hmm.
singer that got up and sang with the band? That's
yes.
That's Jackie's daughter.
So we need to get her to promote this event
yes.
through that website as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, whenever there's something going on in town, everyone needs to promote
yes.
each other.
Yes.
It shouldn't be that one group promotes itself and the other doesn't. Because I think at the end of the day, we're all working for the
yeah.
betterment of Brevard
see,
County,
that's what
Florida.
That's about, you know.
Yes.
If nobody comes for me, if nobody protects me or stands up for me, I'm gone too.
That's a beautiful poem.
So it is.
And so we want to remind our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends what I Improve stands for. So it's P-R-O-O-F, and P stands for Promote Individual Growth,
mm-hmm.
And R?
Responsibility.
Responsibility.
And
O?
Opportunity and outcome through faith and self-determination.
Isn't that beautiful, El? Yeah, it just, and it's easy to remember, and it's great
yes.
to support anyone who is trying to stay engaged in a community and help everyone, not just because, you know, a lot of people have time and they don't
mm-hmm.
give back.
Right.
But you have your time. I mean, you did a lot in your life as well. You, when we read your bio, master's degree in human resources development, public administration from Webster University, and a graduate certification of instructional system specialist. I mean, you could be on that cruise with your feet up in a margarita if you wanted
yeah,
to.
I could
but
be.
You don't. Although it sounds very promising,
it does,
doesn't
it?
But the thing is, you've taken the time so that you could counsel our young people, and because you saw a need for that. What
mm-hmm.
was that aha moment, Jackie, that made you say, this is what I'm going to be doing, but with my spare time?
I think my time in the military, and I saw a lot of young people coming into the military, and they were not seasoned, if you will, for the military. They didn't understand that this is a workplace, and these are the rules.
Yes.
You know, and so, I mean, if you go to school and they have rules, no one ever reads that, well, maybe few people read that handbook about what's going to go on and what you're responsible for, then you don't know how to act or what to do. So I think it's important for us as adults to teach children always and stop holding their hands. You know, because we still hold our children's hands in college.
Yes.
So, you know, it's time to stop and let them to be adults like they should be.
I was amazed
at how many expectations.
I was amazed at how many young adults that are on their way to college didn't know how to do laundry,
right.
didn't know how to set an alarm clock, for crying out
right.
loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, we missed the boat somewhere.
Exactly.
I often say it too, you know how sometimes they used to have classes when you're getting married, right?
Yeah.
I often say they should have
yeah.
classes when you want to have a baby too. How
oh
many
boy.
People have children and they don't know how to take care of the
right,
children?
Right.
And it's scary. I mean, in the old days, you had a grandmother or mother or an aunt to teach you
mm-hmm.
how to do how to change a diaper, how to give a bath, how to
mm-hmm.
do a massage. But nowadays, people are bringing children home as well, and they
right.
don't know how to take care
That's
of them. And
true.
Like we were saying before, sometimes you need just a break for 2-3 hours,
mm-hmm.
and there's no one to call.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And, you know, we're going through that now with grandparents raising their grandchildren, because a lot of people are in trouble with drugs and whatever. So you have the people that, like me, that should be on the cruise ship drinking margaritas and I'm taking care of my grandchildren. No.
Right.
So we do get a second chance, but I'm sure a lot of us don't want it the
way
it is.
I was amazed. There was a few years ago, I was a speaker at Planned Parenthood
mm-hmm.
and also at Parents Without Partners.
Yeah.
And I was amazed, because I expected the Parents Without Partners to
mm-hmm.
be an organization of younger people It was all grandparents. It was
mm-hmm.
all the 50
exactly.
and older crew basically
exactly.
taking care of all of these young,
uh-huh.
you know, toddlers
mm-hmm.
even.
Exactly.
So
So it's difficult.
So Jackie, you've been around the world with the U.S. Air Force. You've been to Italy. You've been to Greece.
I loved Greece.
You learned so much. I mean, you were 23 years military service.
Yes.
And I would think that you saw a lot, and you saw a lot of tensions also with race relations, and you showed different cultures. Mm-hmm. So tell our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about your Air Force career. I mean, when I look at it here and all the things you've done, even in as a civilian, it's amazing.
Yeah. When I first came in, I was a dental assistant. And however, I needed to do something more challenging than that. And I went into equal employment opportunity and equal opportunity and treatment, where you talk about discrimination all the time and the things that we're going, our society goes through. And people ask me, well, I'm sure that does not happen in the military. And I look at them and say, where do you think the people come from that goes into the military, that joins the military? They come from our society. They bring all this stuff with them. So, yes, it's important that we have a career field like that to educate people, because we do have to educate on different cultures and whatever. And sometimes when we talk about the melting pot, we don't really want to say that it's a melting pot, because all of us try to keep our own identity. Mm-hmm. So it's more like a salad bowl, we used to call it.
Yes.
You still see the carrots, you still see the, you know, the lettuce and all that. And it's important for people to keep their own culture,
right,
because it teaches us different things about people. So that's
so what are some of the challenges with I Am Proof, with, because I'm sure you're getting probably a lot of cultures that are involved.
The only challenge that I'm getting right now is when we mentioned the word at-risk children.
Right.
They think it's only minorities. And all of our teenagers are at risk.
Everyone.
All of them. Mm-hmm. Because there's still drugs in the schools. There's still bullying. And, all kinds of people do that.
Yeah.
So everybody needs to come together and teach our children that, you know, bullying and drugs and all of those things should not exist in our schools. But if they exist in the families, how do you prevent it?
And I like what you said about the salad bowl versus the melting pot, because a lot of us, it's almost like the melting pot is a code word nowadays politically.
Yeah.
People use it just if they want to run for office and say, well, America is a melting pot.
I know.
But the truth of the matter is we have kids on the border that are different, that are not going to be part of the melting pot.
Well, in the U.S. too.
U.S. too.
Yeah,
so the trick is, how do you educate more people to say, well, yeah, we are a diverse country.
Yeah.
We have a lot of immigrants and minorities and cultures, and how it's not just about eating the food from different cultures.
I know, but that's the fun part,
that's
right?
That's the fun part, right? But it's also about getting to know your neighbor and getting to know your community. Mm-hmm. And like, we're having this fundraiser, and attend it and see what I Am Proof has done, and see the products of this mentoring and guidance after school programs and all the things that you're doing. So where do you get your referrals for I Am Proof?
Well, normally, well, in the beginning, we did get them from different agencies. Now we're trying to get into the school, Brevard school system. Last year, we were at Sable Elementary, and we had the fifth and sixth graders, which was outstanding. So this year, we're talking with University Park and another school that's planning on using our program. So hopefully we'll be in the schools now, instead of trying to pull people from the community, because that's difficult. Because a lot of parents don't have transportation, so they can't get to, where we're holding the program. So it's easier to be in the school system than to be in the rec center or other places, youth centers,
because there's nothing
for them to, faith-based organization.
Right,
yeah, because they can't get back and forth. Mm. So it's really a blessing that we are trying to get into the school system now.
Well, Ellen and I often talk on the show about things, and so many people meet us on the outside, and people, this is such a good topic, you know, when we talk about the melting pot and minorities and what I Am Proof is doing, because people always ask me, do we feel sometimes as though certain Americans are left out of how to own a home, how to obtain a loan?
Right.
We have the GI Bill access, but people don't really know what to do with
it.
So where did we lose that the messaging on to help certain people in our society? Because they say, oh, you have the GI Bill if you join the military.
I think it's because we don't teach finance at home.
Right.
You know, our parents are so, as my parents were, they were busy paying the bills and trying to keep us fed. So they never sat down and said, Jackie, this is where the money's coming from. This is a checkbook. I have to pay this bill at a certain time. But now with our program, we're actually having our young people to develop their budget. You know, how much would you pay for this car? You know, and then, of course, everybody wants a big car and whatever expensive.
Right.
Well, then you have to eat. You have to do this. You have to pay your school loan. You have to buy clothes and whatever. So when you put all this together, then they see.
Right. And who's teaching them about low interest mortgage rates?
Yes.
And college and wealth and equality, right? Yes. And how to manage a portfolio.
Exactly.
I mean, when you live in some households, people teach you, well, this is how much money you bring in after taxes. Mm-hmm. This is your mortgage. This is your utilities. This is your homeowners association. And then you expand on what is a homeowners association. Well, you've got rules and regulations.
Yes, exactly.
And then
so that's what they're looking
right.
at. I even show them the credit report. I say you can't get a job now without having a great credit report. It has to be really good. Sometimes you can't get into the military. You can't get certain jobs. So I show them their credit report. And what do you have to do to keep this above 700 or 800? You have to make sure you pay your bills on time. And you can't have 10,000 credit cards. And, you know,
and do you find that they're receptive? Because that is a legacy.
They're more receptive to that than they are anything in the program.
Really?
Yes.
When you teach them.
Really enjoy finance.
Yes.
They do because they didn't know this.
That's right up Ellen's alley, too. She's a teacher. She's always teaching.
Well, and on my big thing.
I did one of her classes. I had to leave early.
Yeah. One of those things was, even with junior achievement, it was don't forget to pay yourself first.
Yes.
You know, when you take when you get your check, you know, the first 10% off the top should go to your savings so that you start building up something so that way you really do get a good idea of what a budget is.
Exactly.
And including
all of
those things.
And why do I have to save? Because you may need to buy
a rainy day.
I have a grandson that's 16 years old now that he wants a car. Well, save your money and buy one. Every time he goes out, he spends all of his money. I look at his account and it's like, well, I guess you're not getting a car.
Right. And you know, what is that saying? Don't hang your hat where you can't reach it.
Yeah.
You know, these older ladies, my mom and her generation had some really good sayings, right? And also, you know, but one of the things that young people struggle the most with is student loans and debt as well. And the thing is, I think all of that comes from programs like I Improve. How to start saving at an early age, how to take advantage of the two-year community college when you're in high school, because you do save a lot of money.
But
save 2 years of college.
Sometimes we fill their head, our parents fill their head full of, well, you can play football here, so you need to go to this school.
You've
Knowing
always
you
said
can't
you're
just
not,
go to the school, you have to be accepted in that school. Hello? And if you don't have the money, you're not going to be able to go to that school.
Yes.
So
I think the single biggest issue that divides Americans is the wealth inequality.
Yes.
And that is something that actually is taught at home, or it comes from family, or it comes from people like you, Jackie, who's been there and done that and is trying so hard to instill values in these children. So, Ellen, what a great show. I Improve is always doing something so wonderful for the children. Give us the website and the date for the event one more time.
Our fundraising event will be July the 21st, 4 to 7 at the O'Galley Civic Center. And our website is www.iamproof.net. Because a lot of people say I am, and they're just saying I, apostrophe M.
Yeah, right.
Like, I can't find it. You know, so it's IAMPROOF.net.
And we're so excited about your fundraiser. We'll make sure we get the word out to everyone.
Good. Thank you.
And once again, Sita, another fantastic edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you, Andres Asharte. I believe
it's Yusheshi.
Yeah,
it's okay.
You're better with the. The Colombian names that I am. That's right. That's the salad bowl. Is right. We are a salad bowl here.
We're going to try to attend the event. And let's go if we can. And if you need us to help, you know, Ellen and I are now doing this public speaking and hosting events.
Yes, I heard. We did a fantastic job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So, friends and listeners, thank you so much once again for tuning in. Remember, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, you can find us on SitaMediaInc.com or SitaMedia.com and certainly on YouTube as well and iTunes. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.